What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. We're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is episode number 69, and we're going to be talking all about the continuing series of fights from Abu Dhabi, UFC Fight Island. This is technically number 3 we're going to be discussing, which is headlined by Whitaker versus Till in a pivotal 185 matchup. We're going to talk a little bit about the previous Fight Island card where we saw poor Joseph Benavidez just get his ass absolutely handed to him in a flyweight title match. That was a little bit disturbing to see as a fan of Joey's. We're going to be talking about the rest of the fights coming from the island. And before we get started with those, we will dive into our weed of the week. Smoke weed every day. All right, Paul is puffing on a blend. We made a blended joint of some white Tahoe cookie and our continuing Fire OG that we've been smoking on. The white Tahoe cookies is a pretty good strain. It's a three-way cross of the white Tahoe OG and an unknown Girl Scout cookie phenotype. So not a lot of creativity with the name, but it's a pretty tasty weed.
Yeah, I fuck with the heavy.
Yeah, you've been smoking on that for a minute, right?
Yeah, days. A little bit, yeah. I picked up like a half of it. So.
This is nice. This joint tastes nice with the blend. I like doing blended joints. Just take 50-50 of two different kinds of weed.
I don't...
It'll mix them in.
I've gotten a lot of people that have told me I'm fucking stupid for doing that, but I like doing it.
Dude, I don't know why that's not a thing. I often wonder why someone doesn't do that in dispensaries.
I think it's just branding.
You just find complementary strains where the terpenes and the flavors and the effects are going to mix nice and blend them together.
Well, what I always equally do in a joint, dude, is I buy three halves and then I put it in this jar here, and whatever is left is whatever's left.
That's good. Yeah, we got some Skittles live resin we're gonna be hitting out of this PAX 3 vaporizer.
Yep.
As well. Ooh, and we got this nice, if you're looking on camera on screen here, we got this pretty nice piece there we're gonna be puffing out of. Let's dive into Fight Night. The Fight Night, to me, that was UFC
like
Fight
Night
Island
Night.
2, I guess. I guess it wasn't. I don't understand how they're numbering these, but I guess, whatever. The Joseph Benavidez title fight is what I want to start with. That was a rematch of the original one, which saw Benavidez get knocked out after a headbutt and an ass whipping, frankly.
Yeah.
And, man, Davidson Figueiredo. He looks so much bigger than Joey did.
Oh, yeah. And he was on weight this time. He showed up to Fight Island at 135.
Benavidez would land a few flush shots, and it was like he slapped him.
Yeah. He's like,
I mean.
What's interesting about Davidson Figueiredo, though, is he's fought a lot of the contenders that are considered the new blood in the division. So I wonder where they go next with him.
He had call-outs that just aren't going to happen, so we can't look to him for what he wants to do next. Because he called out Demetrius Johnson, for God's sake, who's fighting in Asia on a long-term contract. He's about to fight for their title after winning their Grand Prix for flyweights over there. So that's not happening ever. That's fantasy land fight. And then he called out a 135-pound non-title fight against the retired Henry Cejudo, and that fight makes no sense and isn't going to happen either. So, who knows what's next for this guy. Some people were talking about Brandon Moreno. I think he'd get eaten alive by him as well.
Yeah, I think Brandon Moreno and Askarov, who also got the win on Saturday, should fight for the number one contender. Because they fought to a draw about, I want to say, 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So, I think it's best maybe they run it back,
That's
see where they are.
I like that too. Dana, which doesn't surprise me at all, but Dana is now saying that the division is here to stay. It was never going anywhere. I think he thinks he drums up additional interest by keeping this drama. Will it stay? Will it go? But now he says that it's here and he wants Figueiredo to have some title defenses. So,
well, he's fresh.
Good for the flyweights. Good luck beating that guy. He's a monster at 25, dude.
Yeah, he's a savage for sure.
Like, he's so much bigger. He was so much bigger than Joseph Benavidez. And he has so much power.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he would hit Benavidez and Benavidez would drop. And Benavidez would land flush and it was like man versus boy in there. And no disrespect to Joey, he's a hell of a fighter. It's not like he doesn't have power.
Well, and what ended up happening there is the strikes he landed and him dropping him and all that, like, set up all his jiu-jitsu. And he just was getting his back so easy. And it was hard to watch.
It was. He had some chokeholds on Benavidez from the back.
I don't
know
how he got out of some of those.
Me neither. I thought it was over in the first one.
Yeah.
And then that last one, I mean, Benavidez is clearly, he's blood all over. All over, he's bloodied up. He's on his back, and then he's arched. Like, he's getting stretched out, guillotine choked, and then that camera zooms in, and his eyes, just like you said, they're bulging out of his head.
Yeah, and he's asleep. Like, he was asleep.
And he was unconscious. He looked like he killed him.
Yeah. I literally texted three or four of my friends, and I was like, dude, I think I just watched someone get murdered.
Right? That was...
like
savage.
I hate to be like that, but dude, he literally, like, his eyes were bulging out. He was asleep.
Yeah, he was lifeless with his eyes.
And the
bulging
ref couldn't tell he was
everywhere.
Out because his eyes were open. Because he was getting, his head was getting squeezed so hard, his fucking eyes.
And he just happened to look right into the fucking camera with his lifeless, unconscious, bulging ass, blood covered face, dude. It was
It was a rough one.
That was.
Well, that's the thing too, is like right before all that happened too, is Figueiredo hit him with a huge shot. That busted him open, so he's on the ground getting ground and pounded, bleeding out of his face, and then gets his fucking blood squeezed out of his head, too. Oh, it was rough.
Now, Joey says he's not going to retire, and honestly, I don't blame him because he doesn't want to go out like that. He's like,
That's a rough way to go out.
I respect
that. Well, and here's 100%. The thing is, he's not, like, super far gone as far as where the division's at.
No, he's not a shot fighter or nothing.
He's not championship level.
He's like, 28-7, something like that. He's not going to get another title shot. We all know this. And
might even have less losses than that, because the only people I can think of he's lost off the top of my head is Pettis, and then Demetrius twice, and
Cruz
twice.
Yeah. So, yeah, he would have been, that would have been the five.
Fifth or sixth.
Yeah, and then he lost back-to-back to Figueiredo here.
To who?
This last guy, Davis.
Oh, yeah. He lost two here, yeah. So it's a seven, yep.
I mean, he's got a great resume. He's a very good fighter.
He's beat some of the best in the division's ever seen.
Well, flyweight is somewhat interesting, I find. We'll see what happens. If this dude's really this savage, we'll see, man. I like a savage fighter like that. I mean, flyweight needs it. I mean, he made Benavidez look like he didn't even belong in there. Like, it was like I said, to me, it was like man versus boy. Like, you're not even... It was brutal. I like Joey Benavidez.
I do too, and that was hard to watch.
Nothing but the best. That was really tough to see. So hopefully the UFC matches him up appropriately. Please don't give him some killer. Let's let this guy get some wins.
Honestly, other than Davidson at 125, who's really a killer at that level? Not really anybody.
Not really. There's not. So.
And Joey's beat most of them already anyways. Like, the only ones he really hasn't fought is like the... like the young guys coming in, like, I don't think he's fought Moreno or Kai Kara France or the dude that Askarov beat, Pantoja. I don't think he's fought any of those guys. So it'd be interesting to see him maybe fight some of those guys.
Well, the rest of that card is fairly uneventful. I did like the knee bar by Lipsky. She's pretty savage.
Yeah.
She left
her opponent.
What
about the co-main event, though?
She left her opponent screaming on the ground. Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah.
Jack Hermanson.
Yep.
185-pound match. Over fast. Real Hermanson quick. With a heel hook.
Hermanson's known for those quick submissions, too. He tries to get in and get out.
That was brutal.
And that's one thing I said on last week's show, was we'd see where his confidence is at, and it seems that his confidence was not damaged at all by that knockout.
No.
Because he was... before that heel hook, he was willing to stand in front of Gastelum.
Gastelum has heavy hands, as we've noted. Man, short work.
Yeah. He's known for those, dude. Those quick scramble submissions. He pulls them off. Should have been ready for that.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just thought about that fucking Lipsky fucking knee bar. Because I was thinking about the heel hook, but then that knee bar that she had earlier in the fight.
That was card. Savage, man.
Dude, I thought she broke that chick's leg.
She was left screaming. And since there's no crowd, you could just listen to this girl scream for like 30 seconds, man.
Is before she did that, that like inverted knee bar, I don't even know what to call that.
Yeah, she was standing over her.
It's like a calf crusher. With her back to her. Know. Yeah, but
the
no.
Knee up.
The thing was, before that, when she took the shot, it's hard not to like, but like she grabbed her ankle and then like lifted it up. So basically like turning her knee like 90 degrees.
Yeah, you know, like sideways.
Like torquing it. Yeah, and then she pulled it up after that. That shit was savage.
Yeah, it was.
Those are two submissions that were freaking... Those are beautiful.
Absolutely,
that was. Dude, there's some. What's that? 1, 2, 3. I think there was 4 or 5 fights that ended in submissions. This card. That's crazy.
Especially that heel hook was nasty. We just don't see a lot of those enough. And
the main
why.
Event, the fucking eyes popping out the head. That was.
That was nasty. That I was didn't nasty. See who got the performance of the night award.
But, it was Lipsky, and then. Figurino.
Okay. Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
They could have given one to Hermanson, too, instead of one of those two. I couldn't really argue with that either.
Nope. But where do you think this leaves Jack Hermanson now? Because you got a loss to a guy who's at third in the division. You beat the guy who's second. And now you're sixth. So imagine, like...
We've probably got Adesanya versus Costa.
Yeah.
Getting... finalized here probably after this episode airs.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time that this is airing, that should be a finalized fight.
Yeah.
He's not going to be get that winner.
No.
So he definitely needs another fight. Who was Salza doing? Is he back? They already fought though, didn't they?
Yeah. He beat the dog shit out of him.
Yeah, he fucked him up. I don't even know.
Well, here's what we have right now. Think? The top of the division, we've got the fight we're going to talk about in a little bit. Whitaker and Till going on. And then you got...
That's what he needs. He could fight the winner, Whitaker, Till.
The winner? I think the loser. I think the winner of Whitaker, Till is fighting for the belt.
Okay, yeah. I can see that, too.
But just going down the line a little bit, though, you got... So those two who are the top three, and then Costa's fighting the champ. Yoel's fighting... Uriah Hall, you got freaking really the only guy who doesn't have a fight is the guy who knocked him out last. So like that's just really where we're at. You got what's his name? Shit. Who just knocked Hermanson out? Jared Cannonier. Yeah, so Jared Cannonier and Jack are really the only two left now who don't have a fight in the top 10.
They're not going to fight each other.
Not going to fight again.
Cannonier can't do better than he already did. He's not going to take that fight.
Maybe down the line, but I don't think right away like that.
No.
So maybe Hermanson's going to have to sit back and watch how things go and kind of go from there.
So probably is the loser from Till Whitaker.
Maybe.
Things are interesting in that division, though.
I could see that fight going to Cannonier, though. Over Hermanson.
Yes. He's a beast.
Yeah, and he's kind of got left out with this whole... He's the only one who really doesn't have a scheduled fight during this corona stuff.
Right, he's been... I haven't heard anything about him. Nobody's really talking about him right now. We didn't even remember who it was for a second. Which,
Well, let's... I think that about closes out that card. Well, let's move on. Let's go to next weekend, the 25th. We got... Whitaker taking on Till in the main event. A lot of big fights all the way down. We got Shogun versus Little Nog. We're doing Gustafson at heavyweight. Carlos Esparza is coming back to fight Marina Rodriguez. And
it's a lot of good fights, yeah.
And there's a lot of other fights on this card, too, that are a little bit one-sided as far as like fame and name in the UFC, like Nathaniel Woods on there.
Right.
A couple other people like that have... solid names within the lower divisions. You want to take this from the top?
Whitaker Till.
Wow, that's a real interesting fight for me. Real interesting.
I don't know where Robert Whitaker is right now. Like, in the fight game. I mean, I would tend to favor him if he's... I mean, he's gone through a lot of personal things. He's lost the belt.
Yeah.
But I still think he's got what it takes to beat.
He's also one of those guys who's been known for his grit, though.
Absolutely. And I figure he's going to come back and beat Darren Till, who I've just... I like Till, and I'm not knocking his skill, but I don't know if he's what... I don't know if he's as good as everybody says. I don't know. I mean, Masvidal put him away like that. I think Whitaker can put him away.
Yeah. But you got to remember, though, that's also him cutting down to 170 pounds when he was cutting so much weight that he'd go blind.
Yeah, he was going blind. And that does affect basically
affects you know, everything. How you your nervous system, like, your you central nervous system. Easier
yeah. if you're dehydrated.
100%.
So that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just not 100% sold on Darren Till being super elite. While I'm definitely, I know Robert
maybe not
Whitaker
super elite,
is an elite fighter.
Maybe not super elite, but he's definitely one of the top dogs as far as like the top 10. He's never going to drop outside the top 10.
Not to do MMA math, but how do you think you know Romero and Darren Till match up? I think Romero would probably maul him.
I don't know. I feel like he's a different guy at 185 pounds, in my opinion. I feel like if you look at just his frame and size, he's perfect for the division. Because like, what have we seen in the last like 2 years be successful in this division? Long, rangy guys who have a good jab and good hands. Like that's just really what it has come down to. And
well,
one people
basically described the champ.
Exactly. Yeah. My point. Yeah. So and Darren Till is a very very similar style, maybe not as flashy and doesn't have the dexterity that Adesanya has in his arsenal, but I think that Darren Till has a lot more power than Izzy does. I think if they were to fight, I'd be very, very interested to see how that goes. Because one thing that people also, to your Romero point, one thing that people really, really sleep on Darren Till is he has an 86% takedown defense over his career in the UFC. And that's pretty big.
That is pretty big.
So, I mean, if he can keep it on the feet with a lot of guys like Romero and Gaslam and people who just... Well, he did keep it on the feet with Gaslam, and he actually controlled him in the wrestling and grappling, and that's how he won that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm curious to see what he looks like with someone like Whitaker who has, like, the whole package. You know what I mean? Because Whitaker's, he's got power. He's got wrestling on offense and defense. And he's got endurance. You know what I mean? We've seen him in countless five-round fights.
I like Whitaker's boxing a lot better. I like his movement better. I like his... Darren Till has a habit, as a lot of English fighters do, with his hands being a bit low and his chin being a bit up.
Yeah, he reminds me of Conor at, like, middleweight. That's, like, literally what he, like... To me, like his fighting
style. Conor does that a bit too.
Where he kind of just hangs his hands a little bit and throws huge shots from his waist.
Yeah, Conor can, he's more skilled.
Yeah, well,
or, you know, so he can get away with that a lot more than like Darren Till can.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
It's a good fight.
Who you taking?
It's an important fight. Whitaker.
Bye.
KO or TKO.
What round?
Probably third, fourth.
I'm going to take. Well, this is a five-round fight. Yeah. Damn, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but I don't think Darren Till knows nothing about those five-round fights.
It's the second five-round fight of his career, but the first one only went one or two, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they've gone. That's, I mean, I know he's been in there, but I don't think he's gone the distance.
Hmm. I'm curious to see where Whitaker is mentally, though.
Because that's my only question mark, because he's been through some shit.
Well, not
didn't
only
he have
that,
to donate bone marrow to like his.
I don't know. He says that story wasn't real, but why would someone make a story up like that? It just doesn't. It was too specific to make up like.
That's a very specific thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he just wants his personal,
I mean, whatever it is,
like family life out there, and I understand that.
He has documented issues with depression. He talks about that type of thing, and that's all fine. We all go through that type of shit, but it affects.
Well, then he also has had issues with his physical health as well. He had that freaking hernia that pulled him out of the first fight with Gaslam, And then coming off that, he gets knocked out inside of two rounds by the champ. And in a fight where he didn't look himself as far as like his...
Not at all.
His mental game. He looked like he was so anxious to get out there that he fucking just went out there and tried to tear Israel's head off. And I just don't... That's what I mean. Like Whitaker has the full package, but I don't know if he does anything that like super duper great. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with that. He does a lot of things very.
He does, yeah.
Good,
exactly.
Good to adequate. You know. Mm-hmm.
I think he does everything very good. I just don't know what he's great at. I just don't. Like he's a really, really, really good fighter, championship level. Obviously, we know his career accolades, but at the end of the day, I feel like where does he necessarily have the edge that's going to get him over a lot of these guys at the top of the division that are here now?
I think the edge comes from doing everything good, where a lot of these guys like tend to be more of a specialist, perhaps.
But I feel like it, like in the Israel fight, I feel like that's where it got him in the most trouble. Was he tried a little too hard to like show that he's great on the feet, you know what I mean? Like, because he's so like good at everything, he kind of went in with the mentality of like he could have gone in there and tried to wrestle him for sure.
It would have been a better plan
for sure. Like as we saw in the freaking
hindsight and whatever, but still, yeah. Israel Adesanya is elite, mm-hmm. obviously. So it's gonna be a good matchup. I'm still sticking with
taking Whitaker.
Taking till
by decision.
Decision, word.
I think he'll slow play it like he did the Stephen Thompson fight and Laura Whitaker in. And I don't know. Till likes to work the body too. And I feel like Whitaker working the body on Whitaker is always a good idea.
Let's talk about this co-main event.
Fight that's supposed to happen for like the last 7 years. And now it's finally happening again. Like how many times, in all reality, how many times has this been rescheduled now? At least like five.
It's been so long since this fight was going to happen. I'm over it. I don't even want to see it no more. I don't want to watch it really.
Well, and it's also the farewell for both of them, though. They've both said this is probably going to be their last fight. Probably.
Well, that's good. I hadn't heard that. That's news
well,
to
that's
me.
Well, that's what... What when originally
Thank
this
God.
Is originally remember this was supposed to be on the pay per view with well let's just talk about first it's Shogun Hua versus Little Nog, and
the and thing it's 2020 is, by the way,
yeah.
We said that
just, UFC just 4.
To be clear, we're talking about 2020 Little Nog versus Shogun.
Here's the thing though, this fight was supposed to happen in Brazil on that card with Henry Cejudo, Jose Aldo. Remember that? That
yes.
one. And that
yes.
was going to be their retirement to both go out in Brazil. So
and
I wonder.
Were, yeah.
This is kind of... It's a legacy fight for both of them, though. You know, like... It's nostalgia for the guys who maybe weren't... Or too young to know who the fuck these people are. You know what I'm saying? It's their time to put on for the last generation of UFC fighters. You know what I mean? Not even yet.
I just, you know, I respect the Nogueira brothers, but man, I've been so over seeing them fight.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you look at the age, their physical age, and it's not like crazy. But for the fight game, I mean, we joke a lot about years on a fighter, dude. No joke. They're like 100 years old. Like they're very, very, very. They both need to just be done.
Yeah, I think this is it.
Respect. You've done your duty. Mm-hmm. But I don't like watching those guys fight really
yeah,
anymore.
No.
I don't. And Shogun is right there too. I mean, I know he's strung together some wins, you know, not that long ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, his time came to an end when John Jones ended it.
Yeah.
And now John Jones is old. Yeah. I mean, and Shogun is still talking co-main events, and John Jones is like, I think I'm done.
Yeah. Like, but here's the thing, though. He wins.
He does win. I'm just speaking from my personal perspective. I'm like, that's good they're retiring. Big Dog's retired now for sure, right?
It's been a while. He's been retired for maybe 10 years.
No.
Yeah, because he retired
fought like 18 months ago.
Nah, I think his last fight was 2013.
No, he fought like last week. I swear to God.
No, because he was like, he dipped out when Chuck did. Remember, because they made them the ambassadors of the UFC. So that was like 2011, 2012, maybe 13.
I got it right here. I don't think so.
Was it say retired mixed martial artist?
I think he fought, it wasn't last week, but I think he fought within the last 3 years.
Dude, really?
So we're about to find out, right?
Yeah, let's see.
Dude, I'm just... God, he was only born. He was born in 76.
Wait, that's the one who's fighting now.
Yeah, he's 44. No, this is Big Nog right here.
Their name, I thought, is Rodrigo is the light heavyweight. Minotauro is the heavyweight.
Minotauro is a nickname. Their real names are like one letter off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get them mixed up all the time.
Let's see.
His last fight was...
Well, I'm talking UFC fight, all right?
Well, he was still... They didn't let him out of his contract. Well, maybe you're right. It was Stefan Struve at UFC 190.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He lost. When was that, though?
2015.
Yeah, so about 5 years.
5 years ago.
5 years.
It wasn't 10 years ago. It
was five years ago. True. Meet me in the middle.
Yeah, he went out... Then he got KO'd by Roy Nelson, subbed by Werdum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Then Frank Mir busted him up at UFC 140.
Yeah, I remember that shit. Did he break his arm?
Yeah, then he KO'd Brendan Schaub. After being KO'd by Kane. After decisioning Randy Couture. See, this motherfucker was talking about Randy Couture. Thank God he's retiring. Retired. That's good. I mean, good. Kudos to them. I'm not interested in the fight. I think Shogun's going to take it.
Yeah, I think Shogun wins, too.
Probably by something vicious, because Shogun's in way better shape than the Nogueira brothers.
Maybe.
Whichever one this one is, Little Nog, he's in better shape. I guarantee it.
All right, well,
the next
then...
fight, however, I'm interested in, no.
Are you?
This should be the co-main event right here. The heavyweight clash between former champ, Werdum, and light heavyweight title contender, Alexander Gustafsson.
Gustafsson coming off, I want to say, about like an 8-month layoff.
Yep, he was like, I'm retiring
too. Retirement,
yeah. We all knew that was just him bullshit, being upset, though. He was just mad.
He's mad, yeah. Well, he lost two in a row. Got TKO'd by Jones, got choked out by Anthony Smith.
Yep.
And then we're here.
So I'm glad
moving
he's back.
To heavyweight.
Heavyweight, I'm very interested in him. He's very a very tall, lanky guy, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the frame. He can put on weight. He's good.
And he fought heavyweight kickboxing, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that. So it's not his first foray into the weight division, but it is in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And he ain't fighting no chump.
Is he, though? Because
you never know with Werdum. I'm not a fan.
Werdum's last
good.
Fight was trash.
Absolutely.
And if he thinks he's going to do that against
Gus. So Werdum off the sauce, so.
Yeah, true.
He might.
Well, another guy that whose takedown defense is slept on is Gus, man.
Gus is solid.
Werdum's got to be careful because this could very easily turn into a kickboxing match, and he don't want that.
He don't want that. Then again, Werdum probably has a lot more power than Gustafsson does.
I disagree.
The natural heavyweight against a 205er that wasn't known for his power?
I don't know. Gustin has been hands,
he
bro.
He slept Kane.
Werdum? No, he didn't. He choked him out. He
Was it Stipe he slept? He slept Stipe. Stipe came charging at him and slept him.
Nah, Stipe slept
him
too. I'm not saying he doesn't have hands. I'm just saying Werdum has been a fucking jiu-jitsu guy who came in and has not had the
striking
prowess.
I'm not saying he has technical powers. I'm saying he's got power. Power behind those punches more than I think Gustafsson does.
I don't think
so. Gustafsson's definitely more technically
I think
sound striker.
With the technicality and the placement of Gustafsson's strikes, I think they carry more power than Werdum's bullshit.
Well, I hope Alexander wins. That's who I'm rooting
for. I'm taking Gus by knockout in this.
That'll give a shot to the heavyweight division. That's how shallow that division is with an established fighter like Gustafsson making a statement at a weight class like that will spark some interest.
I'm curious to see what he comes in at, like, weight-wise.
Yeah, we haven't really seen him in the 8 months. He could have been lifting and putting on some pounds.
He's in fucking Sweden, dude. He could be eating the horse meat, too.
I mean, hopefully he didn't just decide not to cut weight and he comes in you know, flabby and out of shape. I'm hoping he put on some muscle because he's a little small. Like, he's height, but, I mean, he's a little thin.
Yeah, he's tall. He's Jones' size, basically. Yeah. This is kind of a preview of what can happen. I feel like if I'm John Jones, I'm watching this closely.
Yeah, but we know Jones will probably bulk up, though, because we've seen Jones bulk up when he's doing the powerlifting.
But Jones still has skinny legs and extremities that, no matter how big he gets, are going to stay small.
He's never worked a day on his calves.
Yeah, that's the thing. Remember, he does. He does, though, dude, because he does all those power lifts, like those deadlifts and all that shit. So he works on them, and they still look like twigs. It's just in his anatomy.
Especially in person, and you see him up close.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, whoa.
No way, the bones.
Those fucking...
That's the nickname.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. And, like, those fucking legs carry so much power
Let's get the Skittles going here while we're talking.
But, yeah, I think if I'm John Jones, I'm watching this real closely. Yeah, not because I have aspirations to fight either of these guys, but just because someone who was somewhat comparable to John back in the day is now moved up to heavyweight, and they do have very similar body styles, you know?
Absolutely. Please, stop some win. I don't like Verdum, just personally. I'd like him if he would retire. I respect what he's done in the game, though. There's a strong argument that he's the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time.
Yeah.
Like, you can really discuss that. Yep. Like, not now. Like, not in his current state.
No, but if you look at his resume.
Is he one of the best? Without absolutely. Yeah. Possibly the best? Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do I want him to win? No. Do I wish he'd retire? Yes. I think the things he does outside.
I think they should have granted his release when he wanted it, when he failed his test from USADA.
Yeah.
Because I think his best days are behind him. And I feel like if he were to go somewhere like 1FC or 1 Championship, I guess, and or like Ryzen or something like that, or even Bellator, I feel like he'd have a lot more success and have a lot more earning potential.
He definitely would. And, you know, if he wants to do that, good for him. But I hope he gets his ass beat here this upcoming weekend. Now, what about this pretty interesting 115-pound fight? I'm a fan of Carla Esparza, women's strawweight division. She's fighting Rodriguez. I can't remember who her last fight was.
I don't know either, but this is 6 versus 9 in the division, so.
Yeah. And you can never count Esparza out. She's made some improvements lately, too. Her hands have been looking better. She's always got great endurance. And, of course, her wrestling is always on point.
She's one of those fighters that really, like, would benefit from, like, a 1-on-5 division.
Absolutely. She's very small.
Yeah.
She's, like, 5'3", 5'2".
No, she's 5 foot. Maybe short.
She's very small.
Yeah.
But she's very tough.
Yeah.
She's strong.
Yeah.
She's got years of wrestling behind her, you know, so she... Mm-hmm. She's got skills.
Yeah, without a doubt. She would
definitely, like, if they had the atom weight, which is 108-pound division, it's one below straw weight, she would excel there.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing people can't forget, she is the original 115-pound UFC champion.
Absolutely, coming off of the season of Tough that crowned the champ.
Where she did defeat Rose Namajunas for the belt, so you can't sit there and try to act like it was illegitimate or something. Because a lot of people do try to write that off.
Legit. She fought legit fighters that are still all the way through. That are
still
now
at the top. Yeah, yeah. Angela 100%. Hill, freaking.
Yeah, she beat Rose.
Beat Rose in the finale. Choked her out.
Absolutely.
So, I think if she's and she's also had some really close fights in the last couple fights against people like freaking what's her name, just fought Angela Hill. Not Andrade, but the one she fought Joanna twice too.
Yeah, she's 16-6.
Yeah,
Carla is.
Yeah,
I mean, she just beat Michelle Watterson. She beat Alexa Grasso. She beat somebody I don't even know, Vima Jandiroba.
Yeah.
Now she did get TKO'd by Tatiana Suarez, and then she lost a split decision to Claudia Gadelha.
That's the fight I was talking about.
Yeah,
I thought she won.
Won that fight too. She beat Cynthia Cabillo as well, who, you know, was getting hyped up as the next big thing at that time. And she's still solid. She did lose to Randa Markos, but that was a split decision as well. Like, and then of course, she beat Juliana Lima, and then before that, she got TKO'd by Esparza, and then to lose the title that she took from Rose.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's a legit fighter. And she's shown improvement, and I like her in this fight here.
Yeah, as I do well. Too.
Go Carla.
Yeah. So I think that about wraps up our look forward to Fight Island. What is it, 2 or 3?
Yeah, we're shifting back to Vegas, right?
I don't know. That's something we should talk about real quick. So there is an August 1st card on UFC.com that is supposed to be Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana.
Right.
But and then also there's Edmund Shabazian versus Derek Brunson on there. But other than that, there's nothing else on there. There's no location. And that's a week away, or 2 weeks away. What the fuck's going on here?
It's got to be the situation here in Las Vegas where while deaths from the virus have remained very low,
we're also been like, labeled a red.
We're a red zone. Red like yesterday, zone. We had 1,400.
Yeah.
But there's only one death. But people might think, well, that's not that much. Like Florida's got 15,000. Florida's got way more people than we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got 3 million people in the whole state here.
Yeah. Everybody, and probably 2 million of that is here.
Right. It's like, all here.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got that big city feel because we get 45 million tourists coming through.
Yeah.
But
without those tourists here.
Yeah, when it just comes to things like that. So 1,400 is a lot.
I feel like that's the biggest problem.
And they might shut down sports again. I mean, the governor shut down all the bars, what, like 2 weeks ago now, 10 days ago, something like that. Yeah, and
supposedly restaurants are coming up soon.
Restaurants could be coming up soon. People are starting to get nervous and freaked out again. So there's a chance that sports could get shut down as far as the athletic commission here.
Yeah.
Which Dana's already discussed this in a press conference and said that the backup plan is they'll just do everything out in Abu Dhabi at Yas Island.
And just stay out there?
Just stay out there, which you can't blame them when we find out that Abu Dhabi is paying for all this.
Yeah,
like the UFC has no financial investment in Fight Island.
Yeah.
It costs them nothing, which is why you can't help but notice it, dude. Let's talk about it. Every event so far from Yas Island has been a commercial for Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
The announcers are shilling.
Yep.
They're like, today I went out and rode in a race car over at 123 Abu Dhabi Street. The phone number is this. Like, it was the greatest experience of my life, wasn't it, John Anik? Well, yes, Michael Bisping. I went parasailing with you know, Jim Bob's parasailing company. Then it comes on and it shows the hotels. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fine. I get it.
Yeah.
They paid you. Abu Dhabi paid the UFC to do this.
There's nothing wrong with what's going on. It's just smart business. It's smart business, yeah.
So
why not?
They could stay there, and it won't probably cost them shit.
The issue, though, is getting people through with the quarantine, and because they have to fly to Vegas, quarantine for 2 days here.
Right.
Fly to Abu Dhabi, quarantine for 3 days there, cut weight for 2 days, and then weigh in. So if they're going to do that, they need to know at least by this Thursday.
Well, and that's why we're getting some fighters I never heard of. We follow the sport pretty closely. I'm like,
well, there's a lot of blank pictures on the other sides of a lot of the fighters on the on the undercard. And it's honestly good for them, though, because they have an opportunity right now to steal the spotlight, you know?
Step up.
Like, a lot of guys, unfortunately, like we've talked about, like, Stipe, Leon Edwards, a lot of people like that have had problems with getting into gyms and having a chance to train. So a lot of these lower-level guys that maybe wouldn't even be in the UFC are getting chances of a lifetime.
A lot of them are making statements, too. There were some killer finishes. I don't remember a lot of names. I don't have them in front of me because I'd probably butcher them anyways because they're people I've never heard of. You know,
well, let's just talk about the guy with light heavyweight from Ryzen, Yuri Prochazka. He fucking hit that knockout was trending for at least 8 hours after it happened. So, like, people like that.
Here, like, viciously.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
Or like last weekend with that freaking knee bar. That shit, everyone was cringing on that online. Like, holy shit. And now she moves up into the division and now has people watch her fight and go, oh man, remember her last fight where she damn near ripped that chick's leg off of her body? You know what I mean? So I feel like although it's not necessarily even unfortunate. It sucks that some of these bigger names can't get in their gyms and work out. But it's great for these younger guys who maybe wouldn't even get a chance to fight in the UFC.
Absolutely. And as this relates to this upcoming Holly Holm card, I'm guessing the reason we don't have published information yet is because behind the scenes, the NSAC is saying, hey, we're discussing whether what we're going to really go on with this or not. And so Dana's got to wait.
Well, because it
might
even
get canceled, or it might just go to Fight Island.
Well, it's even a risk to fly him here at this point. You know, like it's.
I'm thinking that one gets canned.
Yeah,
I hope
altogether.
Not. Could be, or just moved to the next card. You know, because we don't have a lot of fights announced for it, and they could easily take those fights and just move them to
it's
the next
first
card.
Of the month too, which is always a weird day to have.
I mean, honestly, this is purely selfish. But I would rather they did the upcoming, what is it, August 15th, the Stipe DC fight at Fight Island, because it's the bigger cage.
Yeah.
And that makes a
is that
makes
here?
A massive difference. Yes, it's scheduled here at the Apex Center. Mm. And they should do it there.
Yeah, why not?
Because a lot of people don't know that cage is so much smaller.
Yeah. It's what, about 4 feet on it?
It's 5 feet on each side.
On each side.
Yeah. It's basically like the black line.
Yeah.
Is the new cage. Mm-hmm. It's dramatically smaller.
Yeah.
Which definitely favors DC. But anyways, we've discussed that exact same thing. That's what the conventional wisdom says, is that's going to favor a wrestler who can then smother the striker easier.
Yeah, but DC or Stipe is a good dirty boxer, though.
Oh, he is.
One thing he does really well is work the body and hit you with a lot of uppercuts and shit like that. And if he's able to cut DC off and not let him circle away, He could put him in some deep trouble. So I don't necessarily know if I agree with that statement.
Well, we'll see. I hope.
Well, let's talk about a couple of fights that were announced on that card first. So on the co-main event of that card, they announced that they're doing Junior Dos Santos versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik, which, I'm sorry, what the fuck is he doing back in the octagon this quick?
Rozenstruik?
Yeah.
That's a good question. He shouldn't be.
He should not be. After getting slept like that by Francis, man.
People don't take KOs that serious yet. It's like,
and then
the
to
NFL,
fight someone like JDS who has similar strength and power.
Yeah. I like the fight, but I don't like the situation with that, because I just don't think fighters are taking that as serious as they should be in the UFC. Don't care. They're like the NFL. And I like JDS in that fight, although, I mean, clearly Rozenstruik could sleep him as well. I mean, it could go either way.
I think JDS is just a little bit more technical. Just
I think
cause,
he
like,
is,
the
and
Alistair
he's got
fight.
A lot of... He's just got a lot of big-time experience. Mm-hmm. Like,
but he does have a questionable chin. He's lost a lot of weight all of a sudden.
Yo, I forgot about the weight loss now that you mentioned it. He looked... You know, we made fun of Jose Aldo looking so small, like he looked like Jose Aldo's little brother. Well, JDS is looking like Jordan Aldo's big brother.
It's different, though. It's different, though, because JDS lost all that weight because of a freaking flesh-eating virus in his leg.
Yeah.
Like, he looks Jose weird, Aldo though. Lost that weight because he hired a
No, I know. I'm just saying the weight change.
Oh, yeah.
He looks just like Jose Aldo, just bulked up.
Yeah.
With the big old mustache.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
But yeah, JDS, though, just had that freaking flesh-eating disease in his leg, though. So now he weighs like 215 pounds.
Man, you gotta be taking strikes from Rozenstruik if he's 215. I mean, he used to come in
240. I don't think he's that low, but I'm just saying, he looked that way.
He did. He looked like he was gonna make the move to 205.
He made a fucking meme about it. He said, "I'm moving to 205."
Looks like it. Looks like you're there.
Yeah, shit. And another one that was announced on this card is your boy Sean O'Malley taking on Chito Vera, which we've been waiting for that fight.
And this
for,
is on the DC Stipe card.
Yeah, same card, yeah. Yep, we've been waiting for this fight for now, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yes, and it is the one that O'Malley wanted after his last victory over.
And you got to think, if you're Vera, you're looking for some retribution here, because I do think he was robbed in his last fight against Song Yadong. I just didn't understand how it was scored against
either.
Him. I think he clearly won two of the rounds, but that's neither here nor there. He has his chance now to get a win even over an even bigger name.
Yeah, that's a way
in
bigger
Sean O'Malley, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Chito Vera is no fucking joke, man. He's had
tough
he's nails. He's one of those guys who's like anytime, any place, and he's game as fuck. So although Sean is on skyrocketing up to the top of this division, I think he better take this fight serious as fuck.
Absolutely.
Dude's because this is no one to play around with.
I still like Sean to win.
I think this might be where Sean gets his first setback in his career.
Mm, that's tough.
I don't know, like, he could look great and win this fight. I'm not saying he's incapable of winning this. I just feel like I'm just curious to see what it looks like when he fights someone who's as hungry in his game as he is. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, the Eddie Wineland fight, he's kind of over the hill. You know, the fight before that, he fought a guy who didn't really have any business being in there with him. And then the Sokolmoth fight, same thing. Like, you know what I mean? We'll they've done well with grooming him as far as, like, moving him up in the levels of the division. This is going to be, like, the first guy he fights that is, like, just as hungry as him. And it has a legitimate camp behind him because Vera comes out of American Top Team.
Yeah.
Where he trains with some of the best guys in the world.
I'm excited for the fight. That's a good matchup.
Yeah.
And it's coming right around the corner. So. Mm-hmm.
And the fight we talked about a little bit earlier isn't technically official, but every media source is saying, sources say, official announcement coming for Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa at UFC 253 on September 19th. Huge fight.
Big.
Big, big fight. Paulo Costa, the big, big guy. Looking like he weighed about 300 pounds about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's the opposite body type of Adesanya.
Like, how much does he weigh right now, though? That photo, he looked at least 235.
Dude, he looked humongous.
Like?
I don't know. I'm assuming he's been ready to go and in camp this whole time. What is it?
This guy cracks me up, though. Remember the story that Dana White told about him trying to get himself cleared by a fake doctor?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm curious fine. If how fucking actually healed he is on his pec. Or did he just say, fuck it, and let that thing? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever seen, like, people who tear their pec and then don't get it fixed? Like, the muscle deteriorates over time. So I'm curious to see how well he rehabbed that, or not pec, I'm sorry, the fucking bicep.
Bicep.
That's what, because right, didn't he tear his bicep?
Yeah.
So if you look at, like, I've seen quite a few people who've torn their bicep who haven't got it fixed. It literally looks like you have half a muscle after it. So I'm curious to see what he looks like physically and to really see how rehabilitated his bicep is, you know?
His Instagram, he looks like he's been lifting.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, how well, how much did he push himself?
He's hungry.
Yeah.
He's been calling for this fight. Israel's going
to
have his hands.
I think this is a bad matchup for him, though. One fight I would like to just go back and look at that, just kind of show you what I mean, is go back and look at that Uriah Hall fight. Uriah Hall beat him in every second of that fight until the final part where he knocked him out.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot.
Uriah Hall kept him on the outside, kept him away with the jab, hit him to the body, and just, you know, just picked him apart.
That he did.
But what ended up happening, though, is Uriah Hall gassed out, and Paulo Costa just started rushing him because he knew he was down on the cards.
He's got that power.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see. And, man, Izzy could take a shot, though, man. Look, the people can't forget Kelvin Gastelum had him on Queer Street a couple times. And he was able to, you know, get it together and push forward and freaking dominate that fight later in the rounds.
Yep.
He literally said to him, I'm willing to die in here.
I mean, he went five rounds. If you like the fight or not, he went five rounds with Romero. I mean,
yeah.
Romero. I mean, Costa hits, I'd say the power is probably equal. Maybe.
I think the preciseness of Izzy's punches carry that power that Paulo carries. But I think if...
No, I
like just raw power. Oh, yeah, Romero and Costa.
So, I mean, we know Izzy can take a shot.
Yeah.
He didn't get hit much in the Romero fight, but he took that one big shot. But
he did get rocked, though.
Yeah. I like him ultimately. I think it'll be a close fight, though. I think that's a decision.
Yeah, it's going to be close. I'm not going to necessarily choose yet. I'm going to let that one.
I'm leaning towards Izzy decision.
Yeah, I always like Izzy, but, you know. I could be proved wrong after seeing. I want to see some you know, embedded, some stuff like that, just to see where Paulo's at. Because if he's coming in fucking huge and he's going to have a lot of weight to cut, I could see it going bad for him. Because going into those deeper rounds, big, muscly guys like that get tired.
They tend to. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Well, I think that about wraps it up for today.
I think it does. Excited for these fights. Hopefully, we'll get through this bit of COVID here.
Yeah, hopefully we still get this. You know,
we'll get some future fights laid out more. Some things are getting announced, but we don't really know how solid that is. So,
yeah.
As far as that home fight goes, we hope it happens. And, yeah, that wraps the show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Catch the show Thursday nights, WBUZ95radio.com, Orange Radio app, 6 o'clock West Coast time. Get the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast from. And you can find the links for all of that information at
SWATMMA.com, where you can go in there, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, support the podcast. And yep.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.